This podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only.
Hello, I'm Professor Francesco Giorgino. I'm Professor of Endocrinology and Chairman of the Department of Precision and Regenerative Medicine in the Ionian area at University of Bari Aldo Moro in Bari, Italy. Welcome to this, our fifth podcast of sixth on diabetes care. This podcast is brought to you as part of Diabetes Knowledge into Practice, which is an educational activity and so is accredited for up to 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credits. You can claim your credits by answering the pre- and post-activity questions that are located at diabetes.knowledgeintopractice.com. If you are listening to this via a podcast app, there is a helpful link to the questions in the episode notes. This episode is supported by an educational grant from Novo Nordisk, who have no influence on the content or faculty. Now, in this podcast series, we have been exploring a range of topics that can help us better treat patients with type 2 diabetes. In this podcast, we will set the scene by detailing the physician's key aims for treating type 2 diabetes, including glycemic control, weight, and cardiorenal targets, the reasons why these targets are set, and how achieving these impacts diabetes management and overall health. Having those goals in mind, we'll then build on topics touched upon in our previous podcast episode, which explored how the beliefs that stem from a patient's culture and religion can influence the diabetes care he or she receives in daily practice. In this fifth episode, we plan to dive deeper into this topic and ask how behavioral changes can be achieved with effective strategies that encompass patients' religious, cultural, and social values, so that we as clinicians can best manage their diabetes. To give you an example of what we mean here, we need to be able to support Muslim patients with type 2 diabetes while they observe Ramadan. This is an incredibly important time of the year, but it does involve fasting, which can be dangerous for a person with diabetes. So, how can this be discussed with the physician ahead of this holy month so that these patients can receive support in how to adapt their behavior to both observe Ramadan and effectively manage their type 2 diabetes? In this episode, we'll discuss strategies to implement behavioral changes to achieve optimum management of diabetes. And here to discuss this topic with me is Dr. Sheila Sheikh. Dr. Sheikh is a consultant endocrinologist at Saifei Hospital and Prince Ali Khan Hospital in Mumbai, in India. She is a member of the Executive Committee of the Endocrine Society of India and treasurer of ESI Mahasatra. Dr. Sheikh is also an author of the International Haji and Diabetes Guidance and co-author of the IDF DAR Guidelines 2021. She's been a recipient of the Best Docs Mumbai Award from the Times of India Group from 2017 to 2021. You can find links to both of our disclosures as well as any studies discussed in today's podcast in the episode notes. Dr. Sheikh, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me over here.
So let's start by describing the fundamental goals of treatment for type 2 diabetes. Could you describe the glycemic, weight, and cardiorenal targets that are set for patients with type 2 diabetes? And crucially, why it is important that these targets are met to ensure long-term health for these patients?
So coming to the second part of the question, I think it is very important that we set goals and these goals are meant to prevent both micro as well as macrovascular complications as far as our diabetic patients are concerned. When we try to talk about individual goals, we are talking about an HbA1c at less than 7 or between 6.5 to 7 as closely as possible without hypoglycemia. And of course, with target with disease-modifying agents, which we have at this point of time. Also, when I talk in terms of blood pressure and dyslipidemia, we all know those targets. But what is very important is that we look at our patients in a holistic way. It is not only the ABC, that is the HbA1c, blood pressure and dyslipidemia, but also an entire lifestyle. For example, when we're talking in terms of weight, we know that even a 5% reduction in your body weight can result in metabolic benefits as far as your patient is concerned. And a 15% reduction in body weight can result. We have enough data, for example, from the Today study, which says that, yes, it can result in even diabetes remission. So when you are talking in terms of targets, a holistic approach with lifestyle, reduction in smoking, more activity, and looking at all these parameters is the best way forward, so that it reduces not only the morbidity, but also the mortality associated with diabetes.
Thank you. That's very clear and really sets the scene for how to pursue specific goals in our patients. We'll now move on to explore the types of patients who may need help with behavioral changes owing to a culture or religious view or value. Can you give us some examples of that?
Sir, I belong to India, which is a very, very culturally diverse country. And we have, to be very honest, people belonging to different religions fasting at different points of time, to be honest, throughout the year. Like, for example, Ramadan is coming in 1.5 months, and we will have patients who will be fasting from dawn, that is from sunrise to sunset. But a very important feature of Ramadan, which is overlooked, is that it is not only fasting, but also feasting. And a lot of patients also feast at when they, you know, break their fast at the time of iftar. And that, I mean, sort of differentiates Ramadan from the other kind of fasting to some extent. We also have some patients in our country, for example, the Jain community, which again fast only on water, and they take only water on alternate days, and they have other kinds of fasting. For example, we have the Christians do the Lent fasting. So all these patients, sir, require a lot of individualized treatment, a lot of individualized care, because fasting in different religions is going to have different implications for our patients. And it is very important for us to understand that it is very important for the patients to want to fast. So if we do not have that kind of empathy when we are talking to our patients, sir, our patients then perceive that we are actually not wanting them to fast, and that can be detrimental for us, sir.
Thank you. That's really very interesting. And you have provided us with very effective, I think, examples of how this could be of an impact. But from your experience, which strategies don't work with these specific types of patients with diabetes?
So the first strategy which does not work is the confrontational strategy. If you are sitting on the opposite side of the table and you are not having an informed discussion, it is simply not going to work. Our patient has to feel that they are part of the decision-making process. They have to understand the process. They have to understand why they need to undergo a medical evaluation prior to undergoing the fast, and why it is very important that we want them to fast, but we want them to do it safely. If the patient realizes that we are on the same side of the table as they are, it makes it much more easier for us to be able to explain to the patient why it would be better for them to fast, or even why it would not be better for them to fast. And that makes them a much more compliant patient, sir.
Thank you very much. And which effective behavior management strategies are, in your opinion, essential for patients who have very strong views? You know, they think in a very specific way, and this could be detrimental to their diabetes treatment and also to the outcomes. What kind of behavioral strategies do you think could be developed for those patients?
So I think a very slow and steady and approach is the best way. It's very important for us to understand that even though the patient is going to be fasting for a short period of time, this patient meets you for a multiple number of times throughout the year. And it is at every point of contact that we reiterate to the patient that, yes, we would love that you fast during your very important religious period. But at the same time, we want to be sure that you should be fasting during that period. When you ask your patients, for example, sir, if you want your patients to fast, it is very important that they even monitor their sugars during the fasting period. So we request our patients to develop the habit of monitoring throughout the year, because what has been observed that habits are not formed just before the fasting period. You cannot suddenly ask a patient to undergo a behavior change just before the fasting period, however intense your education may be. But if you keep on reiterating the same viewpoint throughout the year, by the time the fasting period has come, the patient is more compliant. The patient has already formed certain habits which are going to do good to the patient during the fasting period. And the patient really understands the importance of what is being told to them. I believe that it is not only a single patient, sir, who should be spoken to, but it is an entire family. So when we educate our patients, we involve the family members. We sometimes involve friends. And the family members could be anybody. It could be grandchildren, for example. We call in grandparents with the grandchildren. It can be spouses. It can be friends. And group education really helps us in a very big way. We also have certain star patients, sir, who also educate other patients in the consulting. We found that patients, when they have listened to the experiences of other patients, they are much more willing to listen to and undergo those changes. So there are various ways in which we can help. Telemedicine has helped us in a very big way. We do have group Zoom calls. We have group meetings online every Saturday, especially now with Ramadan coming. We will be talking to our patients every Saturday. We have a diabetes educator team. So this is not possible as an individual. As physicians, we all are very busy. So you need to put a team in place who is going to be able to help you in this entire journey. And it's also very important that the patients feel safe while they are doing this. And the patients have some point of contact that in case there's any kind of problem which arises, maybe it's an helpline, maybe it is an educator, maybe it is just could be somebody who's been trained for the entire time period, who is easily available and their queries can be handled. Because what we've often found is because their queries could not be sorted out, they just didn't know which direction to turn to. And that is the end. I mean, as a result of that, potentially, they could also be having problems. So I think a group approach is something which is very, very important. And again, in this entire process, there will still be some patients who will require much more handholding. Some patients will require a little more attention. Some patients who may have still more queries, which can be answered possibly in a chat box, possibly by WhatsApp or so many other ways through the social media. So every individual is going to be different. But what I have realized is that if the adequate amount of time and the patient believes that we are empathetic and we actually want the patient to fast, but we want it to be an absolute safe experience for the patient is quite willing to listen to you, sir, and they will agree even if you tell them not to fast. It is not a problem, really. I mean, because in all religions, finally, it is the safety of the human body, which is of paramount importance. And we use all these different ways to convince our patients, sir.
Great. Fantastic. That's really very useful. I really would like to thank you very much, especially for providing examples from your experience of how to implement these strategies for people with diabetes that have a specific religious or cultural background. So thank you very much for being with us today. So that brings us to the end of this episode. You can find a link to the Diabetes Knowledge into Practice website in the episode notes. And by using this link, you'll be able to claim CME credits for this episode and find lots more free resources to support your learning in diabetes. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review or rating to help other people find the podcast. Next up is the sixth and final episode in this podcast series. We will be asking if it is possible to personalize treatment strategies for people with type 2 diabetes and the high cardiovascular disease risk. We look forward to that, and I thank you very much for listening.